And joining us now, she is classing up the show. She's done it all in her career.
I have some questioning, though, at the beginning.
Okay. We'll get to that. I will first introduce her. She's done the Olympics. She's done Grand Slam tennis. She covers an NHL team and a CFL team in the great city of Winnipeg. Sarah Orleski, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're good. I'll now throw it over to O, because he would like to start this conversation.
So, Sarah, when Al's brother and myself did our 40-meter dash, you it's not funny. It's not funny. You were doing a game that night, and you tweeted out, and I read word by word, "I'm supposed to be getting ready for a game, but I can't stop watching this." Is that meant in a funny way, or is that meant in an athletic way?
In a very supportive way, obviously. Oh, I don't know how many views are on that video now, but I might personally account for about 1,000 of them.
What was your favorite part of the 40? Like the finish, the beginning? What did you like, dislike about it, or how could we improve? Just overall general thoughts.
Well, just every part of it was fantastic. what was not to love about it? The finish was something else. But like I said, there are a few videos that I have enjoyed more than that one. In fact, I showed it to a number of people that don't even watch your show, though, that I said, you have to watch this video. So
you didn't show that to Paul Maurice, did you?
If this was not the time of Zoom and we were still able to go in and have our face-to-face production meetings with them, I might have. But no, don't worry, you're safe.
Thank God for the pandemic.
I've got a question, a follow-up question with that. So which segment did you prefer more, the 40-meter race or when O came back from his surgery and Mullen and Hayes put on La Bamba?
Okay, I've talked to you about that, Noodle. You know, I could watch the best of Overdrive clips. If there was at the end of every week, I don't know how TSN does not do a half-hour special, because I would watch that one. So as much as I love the 40-meter, the La Bamba one, just for me, will forever take the
case. Sarah, the thing about that is, I have to explain.
Oh, I heard. No, I know. I watched it.
I know, but it wasn't like these guys, they tried to make an ass of me, but I had surgery on the Friday, and the Monday was my first day back, and I couldn't put anything on, like a T-shirt or a sweatshirt, so I had to grab my wife's shawl that she wears to work. Or whatever those things are that you just wrap around, like the upper body, and you just wear it. So I put it on, and the cameras come on, and these two bozos turned it into an absolute circus, and they played La Bamba. Like they thought I wanted to wear that.
It was as great as, and I thought Hayes' reaction was good. Noodles, though, I mean, when he almost had the tears coming down his face, I think every time I watched it, because I probably accounted for about 1,000 views of that video as well, also had tears coming down my face. But I thought it was
You are really keeping the show afloat by
I'm a huge Overdrive fan, so I love what you guys do.
I appreciate it.
I was just kind of mentioning off your resume, like how much have you spent with track and field and track and field coaches and covered that sport? Because O and Al's brother are getting set to prepare to compete in pole vaulting, which is, I'm sure, as you know, one of the more difficult sports you could ever try.
Do you think it's possible, Sarah, that either of us do a pole vault?
Oh, I mean, I have a great deal of faith in you. So,
there you go.
Sure.
Wow.
Sure. I don't think I could do it. I have very little confidence in that. But, you put your mind to it. O, I fully support you.
I agree.
There you go.
I'm concerned about Al's brother. Al's brother, his arm speed was fantastic when he was running, but
the overall speed was not. Well, what am I talking about? He beat me.
Yeah, but he was Forrest Gump. He was Forrest Gump at the end. He wasn't bending his knees like he was seizing up, but he did a great job.
Yeah. Have you ever tried it? Oh,
never. And
no, that's
no. Well,
that would be
no,
maybe
no,
what my
no. Yeah, I know, I know. That's what everyone's concern is when they look at the overall body of work as far as Al's brother and myself's athletic prowess. But you just never know. Maybe Al's brother just gets up there or me and bends that thing right to the ground and we set records. We could do it.
That would be amazing.
Did you ever do just the high jump when in school? You know, the ones when you're a kid and you just...
Just say this. Red ribbon every time at the competitions. First place.
Ooh, wow. Okay.
Should you
first place long
that?
Jump, first yeah. place 200, first place 100, everything, shot put, first place.
Why don't you pick those events before pole vaulting?
Well, it's a different challenge. Uh-huh. And I don't know how pole vaulting even came into play, but that's what's up ahead of us.
All right. Well, we move on to the Leafs and Jets, Sarah. Somehow, some way, we will try to transition. Do we have a bit of a rivalry here? Like, you know, Paul Maurice is sarcastic and funny as they come, as we saw today at the Jets practice.
Yeah, I figured that comment would probably get a little bit of play, especially in Toronto. And I think that, I mean, the Winnipeg Jets are frustrated. I don't know necessarily at whether or not they think that the Leafs are a dirty team, but just some of the calls that maybe have been missed or that the Jets have been on the receiving end of over the last few games. But I think that definitely we see a rivalry brewing between these two teams, and think about how great it would be if they were able to meet in the postseason, and even more so with two meetings left in the regular season with that final game on May 14th. How great would it be if that was a game that could decide first place in the North?
Yeah, I think it would, you know, it would be meaningful. You're right. Like how we're on this show, we talk predominantly Leafs. So we were talking about it this week. You know, it's a good measuring stick when you're playing some of these teams, and Winnipeg seems to be a pretty good measuring stick for the Leafs. How is it perceived in Winnipeg about Toronto as far as measuring stick or rivalry, all of that type of stuff, not only from the media, but maybe you get a sense from the organization as well?
I think for sure, when you look at the Leafs and the Oilers, and it's the two teams that the Jets have been sandwiched between in the standings for most of the season, and they're the teams that this has been a steady Jets team. They haven't had huge peaks and valleys in their season in terms of results, anything like that. They've just been steady going about it and collecting wins, but they have struggled, although they haven't been blown out. In a lot of games, they have struggled to get wins as much against Toronto and Edmonton in comparison to the success that they've had against Ottawa, Calgary, etc. So this is definitely measuring sticks for them, and I think that most people believe that whether you're meeting, whichever team you're meeting in the first round, that inevitably you're probably going to have to play Edmonton and Toronto in order to get out of the North. So important games for sure as the Jets try to get their game in check and ready for the postseason.
You know, today Connor Hellebuyck was asked about his performance and that he didn't agree with being pulled. Is that kind of what you expect from Connor Hellebuyck, that he's really good with moving on from a bad performance, but just that his confidence is so high and that, you know, has made him a Vezina Trophy winner?
It has never wavered, at least publicly. A couple of years ago now, when he had some issues, maybe a little bit more often in his game, he would always come out and say that he liked where his game would be at. It didn't matter if he had gotten pulled. That was always his answer. And it, at the time, you kind of, you know, you appreciated his confidence, but also wondered a little bit maybe what he was seeing in his game. I remember after one, and I think he had let in maybe six, and he goes, "I like where my game is at." He said, "Oh, well, that's... Connor, I think some people might be wondering what it is about your game that you're liking right now." So he's never wavered in it, and I appreciate that about him. And so it didn't surprise me at all that he said what he said today. And I would expect him, I heard you guys early on in the show talking about it, I expect him to come out with a very strong performance on Saturday night. That's what we've seen. He bounces back. This team bounces back well, but he bounces back well, and it has been consistent in his play. There's there's no doubt, as everyone knows, that the greatest strength of this Winnipeg Jets team is in net. And Connor Hellebuyck wouldn't like to be pulled. He would, as Paul Maurice said afterwards, believe that the next 75 shots that he would face, that he would stop them all. And that so it was no surprise that he thought he got pulled too early. But he'll bounce back. And there's one thing with the Winnipeg Jets. There is not any concern in net.
Sarah, as much as you've talked to Paul Maurice, I'm probably the only person in the world that's talked to him more than you, because I've had to sit in his office, and I kind of understand some of the language and the hidden messages that come out of his mouth. And when he says he's fine with what Pierre-Luc Dubois is doing right now and he's not concerned about it, I don't necessarily agree with that comment. Do you think he's basically buying him time, or where do you think he stands with Pierre-Luc Dubois?
Well, he said that he felt that last night's game was the best game that he had seen from Dubois in a Jets uniform. And I think that he probably does agree with that. Paul Maurice is not the type of coach to come out and, you know, publicly throw a player under the bus or really be critical of them and their play. He is supportive publicly with it. And I think that there's a lot of growth and a lot of upside to Pierre-Luc Dubois' game. Have we seen it yet? Not necessarily. It hasn't been this incredibly smooth transition in that he hasn't lit up the scoreboard. He hasn't made these highlight reel impact in a game since being acquired. But I think the Winnipeg Jets are in this for the long haul. And the potential of Dubois outweighs anything that they're seeing in the short term. And you have to think about how difficult this must be for Pierre-Luc to not only be traded, but, and I know everyone's discussed it numerous times, but to deal with that quarantine, you don't have practice time the way that you would. It's a completely different dynamic with everything that's going on with the COVID protocols and not being able to go out on the road the way you typically would. And so you've had to find different ways to gel with the team. So I think he'll be fine as well. The upside of him is definitely there.
Sarah, before we let you go, I want to talk about your other love. The first one obviously being this show, Overdrive. The other being the CFL. Are you excited, optimistic following this week's news, or are you in a wait-and-see kind of mode?
A little bit of both. I'm definitely optimistic. I think the fact that there was an actual date that was given as a target start is promising, and it isn't just we'll wait and see. So August 5th, fingers crossed that be on a sideline somewhere and that the CFL is able to get going, because I would hate to see this league have to miss out on another year. And who knows, with everything that's going to happen in the future and with all the speculation about talks with the XFL, but the CFL needs to be back playing. And those that our CFL fans care passionately about the game, and I think it would be great to be able to have football back this summer.
Sarah, before we get you out of here, Al's brother is back in the studio. Do you have any questions for him, or do you want to say hi or anything, or are you all good?
Well, I obviously want to say hi. That goes without saying, and that I can't wait.
You're making his day.
And that I cannot wait for the next round of competition between you two. And if TSN does not put this out as some sort of special, I'm going to be disappointed. In fact, I, again, want to make the plea right now that there should be a best of Overdrive every week.
No, we should play it every Friday and not have a show. That's what we should do.
Well, true. You could pre-tape everything. Oh, it would be a dream for you.
Okay. Yeah. What was I going to say? 200 meter will probably be our next event. Do you have, if you were to handicap the favorites, where would you put it for the 200 meter?
Who I think will win the 200 meter?
Between me and Al's brother, yes.
Oh, well, since Al's brother got the 40, I'm going to say that you've got the 200 meter, oh.
Yes.
Yeah, Al's brother has been patiently waiting by the mic to say something for a while.
Yeah, so, say hi to Sarah Orleski, Al's brother.
Oh, hello, Sarah. How is your day going?
Going great. This has been the highlight of it.
I just want to say, I feel really, really good about this 200 meter. I've been training a little bit at the park across the street from where I live, and I feel prepared way more than I did for that 40. So the 40, it was a tough go, I'll admit it. That was not my best work, I would say. But the 200 meter, I'm ready. I am ready, and oh, you got yourself a match.
Whoa.
Wow.
Oh, I can't wait, guys.
All right.
This is going to be great.
Yeah. You'll be, hey, maybe you'll be covering it one day, Sarah. The Overdrive Olympics. O-Dog versus Al's brother. I know it's on your bucket list. So.
Sign me up. You know what? Forget everything else that I have covered. That
yes.
would be, I mean, at that point, why not just retire?
You, would, be you would leave the Jets in the middle of a playoff run to cover that.
Absolutely.
As you should.
As I should, exactly.
Sarah, always a pleasure chatting with you. We appreciate you coming on. We appreciate you dissecting the competition of the year between O and Al's brother.
You guys are the best.
Sarah Oleski.
Thanks, Sarah.
One of the best. Winnipeg reporter for TSN. And, wow. Big fan of the
she's
show.
A big fan of the show. I like that.
Big fan.
Al's brother had to chime in and say hello. Made his day. I love that.
He very was good. He was very excited.
He was beaming. Yeah,
I could see him off to my right, and he was like, Is someone going to welcome me in? Or come on, let's go.
Was there a hand signal, like kind of a wave in, like a point to himself, like he, that type of thing?
He was like waiting behind the gate for the gate to open, and he was about to go sprinting, like he will sprint in the 200 meters.